Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Lou Ann Crane.
Thanks for joining us today on Family Talk, and a special welcome to those of you who may have even tuned in by accident. I'd like to tell you there are no coincidences, and there's a good chance that the Lord has chosen this day to say something very special to you. Dad, last June, you had a chance to fulfill a dream of yours, to travel to a place that our listeners may be familiar with. It's the Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch. We've heard from Troy and Kim Meter on the broadcast in the past, and today we're going to share with our listeners something special.
You know, Ryan, I've wanted to visit that ranch for a long time because I've interviewed Kim and Troy Meter. They were the founders of the ranch, and I love the concept. I love what they're doing there, and I wanted to see it for myself. So finally, we took a trip in June. Lou Ann, you went with us.
Wonderful.
And Steve Ryder, and we had the opportunity. You were speaking somewhere.
I know. Every time I hear you talk about it, I get jealous.
Well, it's not too late. You really ought to go.
I'm going to.
And I think a lot of our listeners would want to visit that ranch, too. It's not big.
No, it's only 9 or 10 acres.
9 or 10 acres. I was surprised by how small it really is, but so many good things happened there. Kim observed early on that good things happen when you put wounded, broken, abused children with wounded, broken, abused horses. They communicate with each other. The children are drawn to the horses, and in an amazing way, the horses seem to understand that these children need them. But there are just so many things that happened. And our day there was very, very special.
It was amazing. People have discovered that it's a safe place, and a lot of healing does occur there, Doctor. Kim's actually written about a lot of these stories in a couple of her books.
Yeah, and I recommend them highly to our listeners. One of them's called Hope Rising. Her second book is called Bridge Called Hope. But you and I and Shirley had this opportunity to be there along with our engineer, Steve, who's on the other side of the glass. He didn't get to talk much, but he's there and his influence is very much felt here on every single program. But the five of us flew to Bend, Oregon, and this ranch is right outside Bend. And again, we had just a memorable day. But Lou Ann, you went back the next day with Steve.
We did.
And you recorded an interview that we're going to let our listeners hear today. Tell us who you were talking to.
Well, not surprisingly, your day there, Doctor, with all of us was jam-packed. We heard some phenomenal stories. Hovering in the background that entire time was this delightful young woman named Lori. And she plays an integral part of the work that goes on at the ranch. But she has such a quiet, humble servant's heart. You had to go. You and Mrs. Dobson went on to other things. Steve and I returned the next morning, and we were able to sit down in the quiet of that Oregon morning on a picnic table and have just a little conversation with Lori. And really, Lori epitomizes what the ranch is doing, Doctor. She came broken and wounded and searching, and through the loving patience of Kim and the staff there, she has exploded into this phenomenal woman of God. So she is just an example of the redemption and the reconciliation that the Lord accomplishes at Crystal Peaks.
Well, Lou Ann, you often introduce me and my interviews. Let me do that for you. Here is Lou Ann Crane interviewing Lori Sacker.
The place to start was in childhood. I grew up in a church that was very focused on, I guess, the outside of the cup and on really perfecting your appearance no matter what was going on in your heart. And so I grew up learning how to behave and how to perform in a certain way that got the approval of my pastor and parents and other people in the church. But there was never any real concern with my heart. And so I just began to do the things that I knew would make people upset with me. It was a slow fade, and it was just a bit at a time, just allowing things into my heart. And for the longest time, I thought that I was in control and that I was doing this stuff just to show them or to hurt them. And I remember there came a point when I was in college and I realized that I had no control. I felt pretty helpless at that point. And so it had started as an act of rebellion, and over time it became something that I was a prisoner to. Mm-hmm. I think the darkest, lowest point was I ended up alone. I had struggled with bulimia for a long time. It started when I was about 15 or 16, and that progressed to a point where I was completely controlled by my addiction to that binge and purge cycle, mm-hmm. and just kind of a slave to my body and just how I looked, and just completely trapped by all of those things.
And you were 15.
I was 15 when it started, and it grew and grew and grew. And then after that, I started just having this attitude that I have to try everything and see if I want it. Mm-hmm. And so I tried various kinds of drugs, and I got to the point where I was drinking very heavily. I was partying with people, and then I was also drinking on my own. And I remember one of my darkest nights was just in an apartment. I was living alone, and just passed out on the floor once again. And I just thought, who am I? And there was just this desperate cry for help at that point to the Lord.
Lori reflects on how, as a child, the Lord began weaving the pieces together to heal her wounded spirit, and how he was even laying the foundation then for her work today at Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch.
There was a woman in my town who I knew as a child, and she knew that I always loved horses. When I was a little kid, we had a house on stilts, and I put plywood between the stilts so that I had stalls, and I had imaginary horses in all of my little stalls. And so I would trot around my yard and run around and pretend that I had horses. I put a saddle. This woman had let me borrow a saddle, and I put it on our deck railing, and I just had an imaginary farm in my yard, and I loved horses. And this woman knew it, and she invited me to come every Sunday and ride her horses with her.
Oh my.
And so that started after that really dark time when I began to cry out to God and began to try to fix myself. She began to, we just spent every Sunday afternoon together on horseback, and she didn't try to fix me. She let me process. She let me be who I was and where I was, but she always pointed me back to Christ. Mm-hmm. And there was one day that she gave me a copy of Hope Rising, and I read it, and I thought, Lord, that's what I want to do, and not just come and experience, you know, riding horses and the ranch life and all that, but what my heart was crying out for was to be used by him. Mm-hmm. And I had this hope, and then it was immediately crushed by the shame of, you have squandered everything. You knew better, and you still chose this path, and you'll never, ever be able to do that. And so I was heartbroken. And
you heard
just,
the lie.
I heard the lie. I believed the lie, and I just sat on it for a whole year before I applied to come to the ranch. And so I finally did apply, and I was very honest about my struggle on my application. And truly, I came because God is gracious, and because he made a way for me to be here when I didn't deserve it. And I know none of us do, but it was my first real tangible glimpse of his grace.
So in 2006, Lori moved to Central Oregon and became part of the team at Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch. By now, many of us are aware of the amazing healing that takes place when an abused horse is paired with a hurting child. But actually, for Lori, it wasn't a horse that ended up impacting her life as much as a different animal.
Kelsey Patka, who works out here, she and I heard about a horse that needed rescued. Mm-hmm. And so we went out to look, and she had gone before me, and she saw that there were dogs, too, that needed a new home. So we drove out together, and it was definitely a bad situation, and it was time for both dogs to be taken.
Describe it to us. What did you see when you drove into there?
A broken down trailer, broken windows. There was a horse in a pretty poorly made pen. I didn't see water sources anywhere. The animals were all really thin and scraggly, and just kind of a heartbreaking thing. The people who were there, there was just so much visible heaviness and pain all over them. Mm-hmm. It was just a sad place. And so we did our best to show them God's love in the short time we were there. Mm-hmm. But we did take the animals, and that's how I got Mia, was on that day.
But it was not love at first sight.
No. No. I had this idea of the dog I wanted in mind, and she totally didn't look like what I had in mind.
What did she look like?
She was really scraggly and just kind of ugly at that point. She had awful breath. She's got terrible teeth, and her breath is
awful.
It is so bad. And so she just was mangy and shaggy and skinny, and I didn't like it. I was wanting, you know, a cool looking dog that, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's really shallow, but that's what I thought at the time.
But you took her.
I took her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did take her. I had to. We had gone out there, and I knew it was the right thing to do. I knew she needed help, and I knew that I could help her. Mm-hmm. So,
did she come with you willingly? What was she like? What was her demeanor like? Did she act like a beaten dog? Did she whimper and cower?
She was fearful. Mm-hmm. She was fearful. She definitely had a lot of anxiety getting put in a new truck, and she didn't trust me, obviously, yet at that point at all. Mm-hmm. And so she ignored me, tried to stay far away from me, and it was that way the whole first 48 hours or so. She just was keeping her distance.
What changed on that third day then?
Well, I changed her name when I first got her. That's something we do at Crystal Peaks, and I liked it. We change the name of our horses when they arrive just to, I guess, to signify the new start that they have or somehow tell their story of where they've been. And so I changed her name to Mia. But I was talking to her and just saying, ah, chiquita mia, cariñosita mia, like just calling her my little one or my little loved one. And Kelsey actually said, Mia, that's a good name. And I was like, that is a good name.
What does Mia mean?
Mia means mine. Okay. And so I didn't want it to be mine like a selfish, childish way, but mine is, she belongs to somebody now. And I know that she's been passed from home to home, and she clearly was not wanted where she was before.
So almost a term of endearment, like you are mine, you are my beloved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. She belongs to someone now. She belongs to me, but more importantly, she belongs to God. Mm. And so I kept calling her by that name for about 3 days. And then the third day we went out to a park. There were lots of dogs. They were all running free. And I thought, I'm going to let her off the leash and we'll try this out and see how it works. So she did well for a little while playing with the other dogs, and then she started wandering further and further away. And I called her back and she ignored me. And so I called her very firmly, like, you know, the sharp voice that you can get with a dog, Mia, come. And she stopped and looked at me. She still had her sight when I first rescued her. And I called her, and she stopped and looked at me, and I could see her kind of deciding, what am I going to do? And about 10 seconds later, she just bolted. She took off running in the other direction. Oh. And I was embarrassed. But more than that, I was frustrated. And then later, I was hurt. I realized just I had this sorrow.
Lori's friend and mentor, the founder of Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch, Kim Meter, had walked alongside Lori for years and now was watching as Lori struggled to understand how this dog she loved so much could reject her love and attention. Kim joins our conversation now and describes how together she and Lori discovered this powerful truth of God's love for us.
She was sharing how she's running after her dog and catches the dog and puts the dog in the car and just sitting there, and she's just speaking to her dog. Don't you know every good thing you have I've given you? Don't you know that I rescued you? Don't you know that I loved you and that I saved you? Don't you know? And the dog's sitting there looking out the window, panting, and the dog was at peace and Lori was not. And she shared with me that as you were driving home, looking at your dog's head out the window, tongue flapping in the breeze, that's when God said, don't you know every good gift I have given? Don't you know that I have saved you? Mm-hmm. Don't you know I've rescued you? And don't you know that I love you so much that I gave my life? Don't you know? I've been calling you every day of your life, and you look right in my eyes, and you just keep running away. Wow, what a picture of what God must see when we turn our back on what we know He's asking from us.
That was a powerful moment of realization for Lori, that the God of the universe was pouring His heart out and had literally even laid down His life on a cross just for her. It transformed Lori's life and opened her eyes to so many other spiritual lessons that the Lord had for her, and all because of a fragile little dog.
What else do you want me to know about Mia? She's almost blind today?
Almost. Mm-hmm. She has cataracts. She is diabetic, but she is losing her eyesight. She lost one eye because of the diabetes. She got glaucoma, and so her eye was hemorrhaging, and it had to be removed. The other eye is on its way to the same fate.
So she is totally dependent on you.
Absolutely.
Just a few moments ago, sitting here, there was a vehicle that drove by, and you had to run out and grab her because she really wasn't even aware of where to turn and where that car was.
Exactly.
So she is totally dependent on you.
She is. And if she listens, we do really well together.
There's a lesson.
It is. I've seen myself so often in my dog because she gets distracted or she wants to go her own way or whatever the situation. There's so many different things that pull her attention away from me. But when she listens to my voice, I have a lot of very clear voice commands that I use. And when she listens and follows, she has to obey also. That's the second part of it. When she listens and follows, we're able to go and have walks, and she doesn't have to be on a leash.
What has this lady, Kim, right here, meant to you?
Oh, my gosh. Kim has told me the truth, always. And I've been so self-justified and entitled in my thinking without even realizing it. And again, Kim would hear me and then tell me the truth at the end. When I would come to her and say, I've squandered everything. There's no more hope for me. I can't do what God's asking me to do because I've wrecked everything.
You really thought you were that far gone,
yes.
Lori, that the things you had done.
I did.
Your behaviors, your actions, your deeds. Mm-hmm. What somehow precluded you from deserving God's love or forgiveness?
Exactly.
You really believed that.
Exactly. I did, and even though I didn't always say it, my actions showed that I believed it in my heart.
And how old are you?
I'm 29.
So in your 20s, you're thinking, I'm beyond it.
Yeah.
My life is beyond repair.
Yeah.
What could the Lord do with me?
Yeah. I did. But consistently, again and again, Kim would bring me back to the truth of Christ's forgiveness and redemption and the fact that in Him I am a new creation and His mercies are new every day. And Kim just told the truth again and again, and it made me mad, and I pushed against her, and we had, I get so frustrated with her. Just let me be miserable. Just let me wallow, and she never did, but she's just was steadfast in the truth.
Kim, you're sitting right here. You've been listening to all of this. What do you see in Lori today?
I see a girl that I adore and that I am so proud of, and I love what Troy said the other day, that what you see in you is the lump of coal, and what everyone else who sees you and knows you sees the diamond. And our job and our joy has been to lead you in that direction and help you see you how God sees you. And what I know is that this ranch family wouldn't be complete without you here. And so we all come to this ranch in pieces, and God is the one who day by day, sometimes moment by moment, reassembles that brokenness into something that He can use for His glory. And without Lori in this place, there would be a huge deficit. She's called to be here by God. And it doesn't matter if she feels like she deserves it or not. It doesn't matter if she feels like she's ready or not. It matters that she's faithful to take that next step forward toward her King. That's what matters the most for all believers. All believers have victory in Christ. We just have to choose it, sometimes day by day, sometimes moment by moment, to stand in that victory and in that freedom.
Lori, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
You said you were ready for anything. If I'm not mistaken, I understand that you sing.
Oh, I try.
Yes. And that one thing that you bring to this ranch is the joy of, am I understanding this right? These little songs that tend to emerge out of your heart.
It's true. It's true.
Is it?
Lori can bust out a song on anything, anytime, anywhere, on anybody, and it's always right at the surface. I've never met anyone who can do this like Lori.
It doesn't always sound good, but
do you have a song for us?
Oh, my. Oh, I don't know. Here's the deal. I remember songs. They stick in my head, which is not always a good thing. But when people sometimes say something and or like a word is left lingering in the air, I'll latch onto it and remember a song and sing or just make one up. And so the only song coming to mind is actually not a song I made up. Mm. But it's Andrew Peterson, who is one of my favorite artists. And you really want me to sing it?
Would you sing it for us?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
What's that on the ground? It's what's left of my heart. Somebody named Jesus broke it to pieces and planted the shards. And they're coming up green. And they're coming in bloom. I can hardly believe this is all coming true. Just as I am, just as I was, just as I will be, he loves me, he does. He showed me the day that he shed his own blood. He loves me, oh, he loves me, he does. He loves me, oh, he loves me, he does.
Oh, what a special way to end our talk with an old friend, Kim Meter, and our new friend, Lori Sacker, on this Family Talk broadcast. You get choked up hearing her story and then going into that song and hearing the words. You know how she feels. Dad, talk to our listeners right now that are feeling that tug on their heart, who have a hurt in their past and who are identifying with us now.
Well, that's not just a story about Lori and a dog. And we didn't air it for that purpose. It has a message for many people who are wounded and hurt and abused and worried about their circumstances and feel like nobody knows, nobody cares. In fact, Ryan, at the top of the program, your first words today, that if there are people who tuned in today thinking it was an accident, there are no coincidences with God.
That's right.
Maybe they have tuned in for a purpose, not to just hear a story about a dog and his master who loved him, but maybe there's an application here for many others. Is that what you were getting at?
It is, absolutely. Working with the next generation, having spoken to youth for years and years, I keep hearing people say, well, you got to make the gospel relevant. And I think hurting people finding out about a redeeming Savior will always be relevant. Always. Yeah. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world. It's past tense. So when I hear people say, you don't know my life, you don't know what I've done, the Lord can't possibly love me, I say, before you were created, he knew you. And he said, I love them so much, I'll send my son to die for them. And that's why it also has current tense. I stand at the door and knock right now. If people are saying, I need that, I need a redeemer, I need a relationship with Christ, it says he is standing at your door and knocking.
Well, Lori got that message with Kim's help. And what she was saying to Lori is, as your little dog who needed you so much and he was running away, you need the master. You need the Lord who is there waiting to help meet your needs and to care for you. Isn't that a beautiful message?
Well, and even the application, Doctor, to those of us who have walked with the Lord for years, that we need his protection, and it's all about my obedience as well. I appreciated that from Lori. She's a very special gal. She's actually written a lot about her time with Mia in a book called Blind Hope, and I hope people will get a copy of that.
Ryan, when you were young, there was a dog named Mindy and another one named Mitzi, and they were very much alike. And both of them were needy. Both of them had been wounded. One of them had been so beaten up that she had a scar across her face. And she could stand on three legs. We loved that dog. Although when I went to get her in the animal shelter, she couldn't even stand up. She had worms. She had pneumonia. She had everything. But she licked my hand. And I was done for, and I brought her home, and we fell in love with her. To think the Lord loves us even much more, infinitely more than that. And if we are that broken animal in a cage somewhere, God is standing there waiting. As you said, he's knocking on the door, Ryan.
That's right. If there are listeners right now who feel that tug, who hear the knock on your heart, we want to hear from you. You can call us and have somebody pray with you and introduce you to our Lord. Our phone number is 877-732-6825. 877-732-6825.
And even online at myfamilytalk.com, Ryan, we have more resources about developing a consistent walk with the Lord. It all begins at myfamilytalk.com.
And also all of our broadcasts with the meters and the videos from your time at the ranch.
Doctor, here in closing, we would just like to dedicate this program today to a dear friend of the Crystal Peaks Ranch family. Mm-hmm. Her name is Jenny Reiling. She passed away from pancreatic cancer 1 month ago today, and she was instrumental in setting up this trip for us. I even stayed with her and her husband Mark at their home. She hosted us while we were there. Our hearts go out to Mark Reiling and the whole Reiling family and all of them at Crystal Peaks in memory of Jenny Reiling today.
Hope our listeners have enjoyed this program today. Sometimes the Lord chooses to be there, and I think this has been one of them. Somebody out there, as you said, Ryan, needed to hear this broadcast.